So, guys, we're going to spend, I think, well, today for sure, but staying in this series called Blessing Babylon. If you're just new with us, I'd encourage you definitely go to last week if you didn't hear last week, because I'm going to kind of pick up off of that a little bit. But I feel like what we're going to try to transition maybe a little bit today is, as well, is to maybe get a little bit practical about it, because we've been talking kind of conceptually, right, for a few weeks about, you know, figuring out where you're at and figuring out why you're where you are and being a blessing wherever you're at. But hopefully I'm going to bring a few more important points out of the story of Joseph here. Something I never seen before. I've studied this one a lot. Something I never seen towards the end. But maybe get a little bit practical. Amen. So let me start off by this, saying this. We're in a season where, you know, like I just said a moment ago, we're ramping up for Christmas, right? I mean, we're going crazy. 3 weeks and change for Christmas time. And I think it's funny. We see this. You guys have seen this meme around. It goes on Facebook and different things. It says, only in America do we kill somebody for a $10 toaster the day after we're supposed to be thankful for everything we got. And I seen something else recently that says, you know, if you guys know this, that Halloween has become the second largest holiday money-wise, makes more money than every other holiday except for Christmas. You guys know that? Right? And what's happening, you look at what's going on in our stores. We're going to draw this into because we're talking about trying to beat the system, right? We're trying to go into the system and take it down. Amen? Right? So you look what's going on in our culture. Look, go into the stores. Halloween goes crazy. We talk about Thanksgiving for about 6 hours, and then we're right into what can we buy somebody and what can we get. Right? Where, as far as I'm concerned, at least in my home and in the scriptures for sure, right, that probably the holiday we should spend the most time focusing on is Thanksgiving. And it's our culture is trying to bury it. Can I get amen? Right? Trying to bury it, man. And if you see the Bible, there's a scripture that even Pastor Al, he'd get in trouble every time he preached about it, but there's a scripture that says this, that we're to give thanks in all things, because this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Right, Pastor? Right? You had folks come in your office and say straight up, I will not thank God for this situation. And Pastor Al's gracious response was, well, then you're out of the will of God. Doesn't that feel warm and fuzzy? Right? But we're going to, so y'all track with me. We're going to just, I want to think about Thanksgiving, right? And we buy our kids Christmas presents and stuff, but we're pretty adamant in our home that this Christmas is about Jesus, man, right? It's not, Jesus didn't get born on December 25th, all right, so don't go there, but, right? Like, I say to my kids, like, when it's your birthday, it's about you. That's when you came to earth, and we're going to celebrate you. But December is when Jesus came. We're here to celebrate him, and that's, we'll buy you something, that's fine. But you know what I'm saying, church, right? And boy, it's like trying to fight the culture and all this stuff. It's like, come on, man. Like, we want to celebrate you, but it's not your birthday. Amen. I'm off my little soapbox. Now, foresight, scripture title this morning, sermon title is called Foresight is 2020. Foresight is 2020. And just hang on. That's what the Lord told me to call this. So just hang on. We're going to try to build it. Amen. So something from last Sunday's sermon that just been sticking in my heart from the story of Joseph is when he's thrown into prison because of Potiphar's wife. Again, if you weren't here, you can listen to last Sunday's sermon on the website or the app. If you're unfamiliar with the story, Joseph was basically running Potiphar's estate. Potiphar was a wealthy man who bought Joseph as a slave. But even Potiphar, even though he was a heathen and he didn't know anything about God, he recognized the favor of God in Joseph's life. So he kept promoting Joseph over and over and over until he was eventually Potiphar's right-hand man, right? Potiphar's wife then accuses Joseph of taking basically a shot at her, prepositioning her, right? And so Potiphar throws him in prison. But I want to talk about for a few minutes here, church, is the prison. Everybody say the prison. Anybody feel like you're in a prison right now? So prisons are not bad places to be. In the Bible, anyway. Nobody wants to be in a prison, right? I mean, nobody's like, yeah, put me in a prison. Now shine me up, right? I volunteer, right? But if you look in the Bible, man, there is story after story after story of guys getting thrown in the prison in the Bible. Is that right? If you're anybody familiar with Watchman Nee, I mean, some of you are, right? Watchman Nee, he's dead now, but he is one of the most highly respected theologians ever live, right? I mean, this guy's written many books. Do you know he was in China, pastored the largest church in the world? I don't even know, thousands and all underground, right? They didn't have fancy buildings and stuff, all underground. 30,000, 80,000, whatever it was, some ridiculous number. And church, the thing is about it is Watchman Nee, like, if you can't, you read his stuff, and it's like you read one page, and that's it, man, you're done, right? It's so deep and so crazy. Most of his books were written while he was in prison. Right, he got arrested dozens of times. They beat him over in China, right? And nothing stopped that guy. Is that right? So here's we look in the Bible. We got Joseph goes into prison. You got the prophet Jeremiah. We know Jeremiah, right? Been preaching out of Jeremiah 29:11. Got a little nugget about that this morning. I'm going to share with you guys maybe. But Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, spent a lot of time in prison. It says, while he was confined in the prison of the guard, the Lord spoke to him and gave him a vision and an understanding, right? He's in prison. Paul spends time in prison. Peter spends time in prison, right? Prison is not that bad of a place to be. If you're in a prison, maybe we're in all right company, amen? Right? But boy, we don't want to go through this stuff. And as we're worshiping tonight, I just feel like the Lord's saying to me, like, and I've said it before to our church, to us, I say to myself, look, if we really want to see the deep things of God, there's a price to pay. You're not going to go deep with God in without paying for it. Right? Well, Pastor, Jesus paid for it. No, Jesus paid for who you were. Jesus paid for who you were. And the Holy Spirit comes in and says, now I'm going to make you who you're supposed to be. Right? Right? You get saved, man, but then getting saved, continually getting saved, and the Holy Spirit makes you, right? It's going to cost you something. Can I get amen, church, right? David, when he's going to sacrifice to the Lord, he's going to build that altar because he sinned against the Lord. What does he say? Where we know this one, man, but the guy says, look, I'm going to give you this land. He says, I will not give anything to God that doesn't cost me something. And David was a man after God's own heart. So David apparently knew something that nobody else did. Amen? Is that all right? See, no one wants to be in prison, right? Does anybody want to be? Raise your hand, because we'll just lay hands on you right now. Church is over. We're going to just lay hands on you and fix something. Amen? No, right? No one wants to be stuck in a situation you can't get out of. No one would invite hardship into your life, right? There's some weird churches out there that they literally go looking for trouble, right? I'm not saying that at all, church, but the point is if we're really walking with Jesus, man, trouble's going to find us, right? You can't get around it. If you're really walking with Jesus, something's going to come at you, whether it's from God and he's testing you, whether it's the enemy and he's trying to mess you up. Something's going to come at you that's going to cause you to have to get stronger and have to be more patient and have to be more kind and all these things. Can I get amen? But listen to this, man. What if some time in prison is part of the process? You guys remember I said this in January. The Lord said to me, embrace your obscurity. You guys remember that? I was like, yo, I ain't trying to hear that right now. That's like who would embrace obscurity, right? Man, especially in America, we want to be known. We want to be famous. We want our name in lights. We want to be, you know, we want everybody to know who we are. But the Lord said to me, son, look, do you think I don't know where your church is? You think I don't know where I put your church? You think I don't know where you are right now? David was on the backside of the mountain. Nobody even cared about David. When the prophet came to find David, he said to Jesse, get me all your sons. Jesse gets five of them, not David. He doesn't even get David. Talk about rejection. David don't care. He knows who he is. Can I get amen? Church, I've been seeing this stuff. It's all coming together. God's saying, look, I've got you, man. I know what's going on. Amen? See, last Sunday we discovered that sometimes you can do everything right and still end up in some kind of prison. But what if the prison positions you for your promise? I'm going to say that one more time, just let it settle. What if your prison is positioning you for your promise? Let's think about Joseph. The dream is that his brothers are going to bow down, right? That's the dream he gets when he's a little punk teenager kid, right? He gets this dream. He's daddy's favorite. He's all puffed up and arrogant about it. And then his brothers betray him. He goes to Potiphar's house, gets betrayed again. He goes into prison, right? And he's in prison. But see, the dream is not about him being better than his brothers and his fathers. The dream, as we talked about at the end of last Sunday, is about Joseph saving his family because there was a famine going to hit the land. If not for Joseph, his family dies. That's what the dream is about. The dream of them bowing down is a dream of reconciliation because the family was a disaster. Right, Jacob was not a very good father. He favored Joseph, so the family's a disaster already, right? They hate each other. The bowing down is reconciliation, not worship. You see it, church. Right? Joseph doesn't know that. He's so full of himself. God's got to strip all this arrogance out of his heart. So he puts him through this crucible. He puts him through some squeezing. He puts him through some tough things to strip this junk out of his heart. So when the dream comes to pass, you're ready for it. Right? So think about this, church. In Potiphar's house, I said last Sunday, Potiphar was probably very, very wealthy, right? He was like the head of the Secret Service, pretty much. The guy had this huge house. He had servants. He had all kinds of stuff going on. He had a pool. He had a hot tub. He had a private jet. He had all kinds of cool stuff, right? So Potiphar is paying Joseph. Joseph is not just serving. He is a wealthy man living in this mansion that Potiphar owns, right? He's living it up, man. He's eating steaks every night. He's having a good time. Can I get amen? He's not in prison when he's in Potiphar's house, right? If I'm Joseph, I'm like, this isn't that bad. He probably gets to use his like extra horse once in a while or something, you know what I mean? For get away for the weekend or something. I don't know, right? But you know what I'm saying, church? It's not until he gets betrayed into the prison, because if he's Potiphar's right-hand man, he's got no power to fulfill the dream that God gave him. He's not in the right position. He goes to the prison. We don't know how long he's there before the chief cupbearer and the baker show up, because the Bible says that God even blesses him while he's in prison, and he gets elevated into prison to the point where now the guy running the prison is letting him run the whole prison. Then the cupbearer shows up, the chief baker show up, the two guys have this dream, and it's because Joseph interprets the dream that gives him access to the Pharaoh. Joseph's never in prison. He never interprets the cupbearer's dream. He never gets access to the Pharaoh. Doesn't save his family. You guys tracking with this? Sometimes the place that you don't want to be is exactly where you got to be to get where God wants you to be. I don't, just get the recording. I can't say that again. Sometimes the place you don't want to be is the place that you need to be for God to bring you where he wants you to be. Right? Church, I'm telling you what, there's such a shift in our mindset. I've been saying this for weeks now. We've got to shift this mindset. 2020 is going to be a good year for this church. I'm telling you right now, because God is shifting some things in our minds, man. He's shifting how we're looking at things. He's shifting how we're hearing things. He's shifting what we're looking at. Can I get amen, right? God is saying it's time for you to rise up, church. It's time for you to stop hiding. It's time for you to just stop. Oh, I don't want to be here. Dude, build some houses, plant some gardens, bless where you are. Get promoted in your prison. Get in there and do something good for God. Who cares what's going on? Well, Pastor, how am I going to make it through? Look it, man, you're still breathing now, right? If you're still breathing now, you're going to get through it. Amen. Look, it was the prison that positioned Joseph to prosper. Think about that, man. The prison is what positioned Joseph to prosper. Could you imagine if we could shift how we look at things we don't like to say, okay, God's got me here for a reason. Amen, church? So in Genesis 50, let's turn over there. Last chapter in the book of Genesis. And just going to share a few things here. And we'll see where we get. Genesis chapter 50, verse 12. Y'all there? Genesis 50, verse 12 says this, "Thus his sons did for him as he had charged them, for his sons carried him." So this is Joseph Jacob has died right here. I mean, Joseph and his 11 brothers, their fathers died. So this is what his sons did for him as he charged them. "For his sons carried him, Jacob, to the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre, which Abraham had bought along with the field for the burial site from Ephron the Hittite. After he buried his father, Joseph returned to Egypt, he and his brothers and all who had gone up with him to bury his father. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, 'What if Joseph bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong which we did to him?'" Now, church, we talked about this last Sunday, right? When Joseph finally reveals himself in chapter 45 of Genesis, he says to them, "Look, don't grieve yourselves. You don't grieve," right? He said, "Look, I'm fine. Don't be angry with yourselves for what you did to me," right? It's in four verses, three times in four verses, he says, "God sent me here. You didn't send me. God sent me. You didn't send me. God sent me. You don't be angry." Joseph's like, "Look, it's good, man. We're good to go." Now we have five chapters later. We don't know how much time, again, has gone by here, but his brothers are still like, "Man, we're not sure what's going on here. I think he's still going to kill us all. Like, we really did this guy wrong," right? And this is what they're saying to themselves. So look what they say. Verse 16, "So they sent a message to Joseph saying, 'Your father charged before he died.'" Look at, not our father. Right? It's like, "Honey, your children are misbehaving." No, they're only mine when they're good. They're yours when they're bad. Yes, right? See what they say? "Your father," look what they say, "'Your father charged before he died, saying, Thus you shall say to Joseph, Please forgive, I beg you, the transgression of your brothers and their sin, for they did you wrong. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father.' And Joseph wept when they spoke to him." Church, I went digging around in here. You can't find any evidence that Jacob actually said that. So, I don't know. These guys, his brothers are so jacked up right now. I think that they just made this whole thing up. They're like, "He's dead. There's no way he's going to know if he actually said this or not. Let's just tell him that Dad said he should take it easy on us." Right? I mean, these guys are so messed up. They're still lying and manipulating Joseph to try to get away with something. Can I get amen? Right? Verse 18, "Then his brothers also came and fell down before him and said, 'Behold, we are your servants,'" fulfillment of the dream, right, church? "But Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for I am in God's place.'" Look what the next verse is. You got to put that phrase to the next verse. "Am I in God's place? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God," well, let's all say it together, "meant it for good." We got to catch something, man. This one of my favorite preachers I like to listen to, he says, you ever notice that God does things the hard way? You got the situation, you're like, Leo, I could fix that. I don't even need God to fix that. And then you like pray about it, and he's like, well, yeah, but go over here and do it that way. And you're like, what? No, bro, for real, I got this. I could just do this and it's all good. And he's like, yeah, but it's not just about getting that done. You got to learn something while you're doing it. Why is it always got to be about learning something while I'm doing it? Is anybody sick of that? Other than me. Man, I always got to learn something, right? Why can't we just do it? See, God does things the hard way. I'm going to insert this little Jeremiah 29:11 thing. I literally found this morning. I said, so it's so fitting, right? Jeremiah 29:11, we preached a couple Sundays ago. But I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. It was the same preacher. And he says, you know, the problem is we misquote this scripture. He says, I know the plans I have for you. And we stop. But it says, saith the Lord. Says the Lord. And he says, the problem is, especially as Americans in our culture, that we think that God's plans for us are the same as our plans for us. Like, I already know what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. And then the Lord is just going to say, yes, man, that plan is beautiful. You should just do it. You don't even need me. Wrong. No. So the fact that I'm even standing here this morning was not my plan. Can I get amen, church, right? How many people have thought, then I know where I'm going. I'm going this way. I'm good to go. And then God just says, no, you're not. You're going to go over here. Yeah, we're taking a sharp right. We're gonna bang a U-ey right here because you went the wrong way for like 3 years. So we're going to bang a U-ey and back up and then get you back on the right track, right? It's like the GPS redirecting, right? I mean, come on, church. We got to understand God's looking at you saying, look, man, if you would just slow down and listen for just a little bit, you'd stop making so many mistakes. The thing about God is he's so patient, though, right? It's like, if it was me, after a while, I'd be like, Junior, look. I've never one time had God yell at me. He's been a little sharp once in a while. We're not going to talk about that again. I already told you what to do. Right? Is that right? Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Look, we talked about two Sundays ago about purpose, right? God is saying, I will work all things together for good for those who are called according to my purpose, right? The word purpose in the Greek is talking about the showbread, set apart, right? My purpose, God's like, look, I don't really care what you want to do to make money. That's fine. Be whatever you want to be. That's not why you're here. God didn't form you in your womb saying, I'm going to make you a rocket scientist. Like, whatever. You want to be a rocket scientist? Go for it. He says, I'm making you in your mother's womb to be the exact image of my son. That's what I've made you to be. And as we pursue the Lord, as we pursue the purposes of God, it doesn't matter what I actually do on earth. Can I get amen, church? It matters is who I am while I'm doing what I'm doing. Right? How I want to go into ministry. We think ministry is here on the platform. Oh my goodness, that's so messed up, man. Right? There's a fivefold apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, right? Those five offices are not equipping everybody for those five offices. I'm going to say that one more time because it went whoop, right over everybody's head. Those five offices are not equipping the church for those five offices. They're equipping the church to be the body of Christ, right? Ministry is not Sunday morning from 10 to 12. That's when I minister, right? Here, that's when I fulfill my role. Ministry is what happens when we walk out the door and go out to whatever we're doing, right? I'm going out into that system, out into Babylon, out into Egypt and saying, look, I'm here as the light of the world. Jesus is gone. He's seated at the right hand of God. He says, I'm the light, but I'm leaving now. You're the light. Get out there and shine your light and show people there's a different way to live. Amen. Is that good? Church, could you imagine if you just tonight you just went to bed and like we were singing, right? Lord, my heart's yours. Anything you want to do. And he actually answered you. Imagine that. Just, you're just quiet. It's quiet. Everything's off. Cell phone's on silent, whatever. Kids are in bed. Hopefully they're on bed. In Jesus' name. The dog is sleeping finally. I don't know, whatever's going on, but it's just quiet. It's just you. It's just you and the Holy Spirit. Because you know what? Those are the places that you're going to hear God. And the trick is learning to be in that place in here, no matter what's going on out here. Right? It's quieting, learning to quiet my mind. Slow down. It's all right. All right. Slow down. What's going on here? Right? You understand what I'm saying, church? Pastor Jim, who hopefully will come up pretty soon, he tells it like this. He's like, the world is always coming at us, right? The world's always coming at us, no matter what we do. Everything's coming at us. And he says, but I want to stop and go, wait a second. What's the Lord say about this? Whoa, hang on. Right? And as we grow and as we get trained, it starts being more and more automatic, right? I don't have to make this stop. I can just keep going coming at it because I've got the right voice coming in. Right? And it's live. I'm live streaming it. Right? I'm live streaming the voice of the Holy Spirit. I don't need to get, oh, wait a second, let me go in my prayer closet for 5 minutes, right? I'm just live streaming his voice. It's coming right in, and he's directing me everywhere I go. Amen, church? Right? We talked about last Sunday about being shrewd. Remember 2 Sundays ago about being shrewd. Jesus says, I send you out as sheep among wolves. Therefore be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. Right? The word shrewd means practically wise, church. You see, Joseph has such a great story about being practically wise. God gives him this amazing wisdom. Here's how we're going to beat this famine. If Joseph doesn't tell the Pharaoh to do that, everybody dies. Not just his family. Everyone's dead. Joseph has wisdom from God to fix a solution that would have killed everybody. Amen? So let's go back and read these couple of verses again at the end of Genesis 50, right? Joseph said to his brothers, do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? You know what he's really, hang on, let me just read it. I don't want to get ahead of myself too bad. Am I in God's place, verse 19, right? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. Oh my gosh, I just got to stop here again. I can't get over this. This looked like evil to Joseph when it happened. Y'all see that? The brothers thought it was evil when they did it, right? Y'all see it? They're still scared of Joseph. We just read it. He's going to kill us, man. He's still mad. He's just being nice because dad's around. That's what they're really saying. Now that dad's gone, he's going to really tell us how he feels. Can I get amen, right? But church, what Joseph realizes here, he finally says, look, I thought it was evil. You thought it was evil. But God was the one in it to get me where I needed to go. Right? The shift is, can I take something that looked like it was evil to me? It felt evil to me. It was painful. It hurt. People betrayed me. People lied about me. People hurt me. Can I look at some point, look back and say, man, I can see the hand of God in it. Oh, Pastor, God would never do that. Read your Bible, bro, because he does it all the time. He does it all the time. God does things the hard way. Is that right? Do you see it? God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive. Amen? See, what we got to see here is Joseph now is, however old he is, he's if you just keep reading a couple more verses, he dies right here. So he's like 110 when he dies. We don't know how old he is exactly here. But this is like, you know, he's like 32, 33, something like that, when all this transpires, when he shows himself to his brothers and all this stuff and all this healing goes on. So now it's like 60 years later, right, that his brothers are still thinking, man, he's still mad, he's going to kill us. You understand what I'm saying? Decades, man, has gone by. So Joseph, the thing about it, church, is when he's old, 100 years old, 110 is when he dies, right, he's looking back at this thing and saying, look, what happened to me didn't change. What happened happened. But my perspective on it has completely shifted. When it happened, I was angry and I was hurt and I was upset about it. But now I can see the hand of God in it. Can I get amen? You understand? Right? How many of us have ever looked back at something in your life? Raise your hand. Come on, raise your mind. How many of you ever looked back at something and said, oh man, now I see it? Right? I can see the hand of God. I can see that situation worked out. I can understand why somebody did that. Even if we can't see like the hand of God, we can say, okay, I can understand why that person said that to me. They were having a bad day. They were going through something, whatever's going on, right? It's looking back and saying this old saying, right? Hindsight is what? 2020, right? Hindsight is 2020. We say that all the time. I say it all the time. Hindsight's 2020. And here's the thing. This, again, back to the title of the sermon. The Lord said to me this week, son, I want your foresight to be 2020. Anybody can look back and say, oh, okay. I see it now. But God's saying, I want you to be able to look forward into something you have not gone into yet, and see forward with as much clarity as you can look backwards and see. Right? Here's the thing, man. What hindsight should do in the kingdom, right, as a Christian, what hindsight should do is build some faith in my heart. See, like when Jesus says, anybody who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven, he's not talking about looking back and seeing good things, right? He's talking about, like, I'm going to put my hand to the plow and then say, I don't want to do this anymore, and just turn away, right? I'm done. I don't want to be a Christian, right? That's not what that's what he's talking about. Jesus is not talking about looking back. He's not talking about talking to folks that have been around the block a few times and made a few trips around the mountain, got a few gray hairs, have been through it a few times, right? And talking to those people, saying, man, how did you make it through this? How did you make it through this situation? How did you deal with your kids when they were doing this? How did you get through this financial crunch, man? Whatever's going on. Do you understand what I'm saying, church? God's saying, look, man, I want you to look back at what I've done, see my hand, see that I was with you, see that I was faithful, and now take that confidence. I understand this. Look forward to what you don't understand and see, look, if God was good here, I couldn't see it when I was in it, but now I can see it. I'm going to take that confidence that if he was good when I didn't even know he was there, he's going to be good even though it might feel like he's not there. Right? Do you see what I'm saying? I might not be able to see exactly how the circumstance is going to work out, but what I need to have that 2020 vision, that crystal clear vision, is saying, look, if God extended kindness to me in this prison when I didn't know what was going on, he's going to extend kindness to me in that prison that's coming. He's going to extend kindness to me in this storm. If he saved this person's marriage, he's going to save this person's marriage. If he got those messed up kids back on track, he's going to get those messed up kids back on track. If he fixed this person's financial situation, he's going to fix this person's financial situation, because he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He does not fail. Come on, church. We have got to start looking forward. Come on, I've been in this thing 20 years, man. We've had times when it's like didn't have two nickels to rub together. And we always had food on the table, but bills got paid. You know, we used to go out to eat once in a while. It was like Burger King on a good day. You know, honey, let's go high rolling today. Wendy's, right? But church, you know what? If I look back, it's like God has been there every step of the way. And the confidence, see, faith, if you study the word faith all the way down in the Greek, it means confidence. We make faith so weird and flaky. Can I get an amen? Don't we do it? How many of y'all know people that make faith flaky? They drive me crazy. Like, the word faith just means I'm confident. God said this, and I'm confident in it. I'm confident that he's not going to fail. I might stumble a little bit, but he's not going to fail. Amen? I'm almost done. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Right? But again, not faith like weird spooky stuff. Confidence, right? I've said many times when I teach on faith, if you read the Bible, man, there is not a single time in the Bible that somebody did something in faith that it was their own idea and God said, man, I love that. Let's do it. Not one time. Never. God, faith always starts with God. God just picks somebody and he's like, look, I'm choosing you and we're going to do this. And he's like, why me? He's like, because I'm God and I said so. Pretty much the same thing we say to our kids. Why can't I do that? Because I said so. Right? Abraham, church, was a Babylonian. He was a heathen. Why did God choose him? Because God did. Why did God choose Mary? Because Mary was something special. No, not really. I mean, she was good, right? And she was a very virtuous young woman, but God just chose her. I'm sure there was more than one virtuous young woman in Israel at the time, right? God just said, I want this one. I'm choosing you. That's it. Right? So, man, how many of us wrestle? Why did God choose me? I spent so many years spinning my tires on that one. He finally said, will you just do what I told you to do? Stop asking dumb questions. Just do it, man. I chose you. Just get over it. Can I get amen? So faith, here's the thing with faith. Looking backwards, if you read this in Hebrews 11, I think it's all in Hebrews 11. But the Bible talks about faith, and see, the thing about church, if we look backwards and we can see things clearly looking backwards, that's not faith. Because what happens, Joseph, the dream comes to pass, right? He understands. He's at the end of the dream, right? Everything's happened. He looks back and says, wow, this makes sense. I get it. I could totally see the hand of God the whole way. That's not faith. The Bible says, if you've already received it, why do you need faith for it? Right? I had this interesting thought as I was studying this week, that in Hebrews 11, so again, we have some new people that are young in the Lord, but Hebrews chapter 11 we call the Hall of Faith. All right? It's a great chapter. You should read it. But it highlights all these Old Testament heroes, right? And Moses and Noah and Abraham and Enoch and all these guys. And this thought hit me is like, Joseph doesn't make the cut. This is the thought that hits me, right? And I was like, man, that's messed up because Joseph's story takes up almost a third of the book of Genesis. Almost a third of the book of Genesis is Joseph's story, right? And I'm like, man, how messed up is that? That this story takes up that much of a chunk in the book of Genesis and Joseph doesn't even make it into this hall of faith, right? So I look it up. He does make it. But here's what it says about Joseph in Hebrews 11. It says, by faith, Joseph told his brothers to not leave his bones in Egypt when God delivered them. His dream wasn't faith. Do you understand what the point I'm making? Right? We would think this dream, man, what a great story. That he had no faith in that dream, man. That dream, that entire 16, 17, 18 years coming through that whole thing, Joseph was a train wreck. He's crying. He's upset. I'm not supposed to be in this prison. Get out of here. Right? That's not faith. It was seeing the hand of God bringing him through. It comes to pass. He looks back. I can see this. Now the promise, Egypt is not our promised land, man. This is not the land God promises. God promises the land that we had to come out of because there's a famine. We're going back to that because that's what God promised. He can now see into the future. Man, if God brought me through this, he's going to bring me into that. Do you see it, church? Isn't that amazing? I was like, oh my goodness gracious. Joseph, the only thing that Joseph's credit for about faith is that God's not going to leave us in Egypt. He's going to deliver us. Amen. Let's stand up. I'm almost done. I just want to encourage you guys. Look, we're going to read this little section right at the end of Genesis 50. I want to encourage you this morning in Jesus' name. Even some of us that are new, in the Lord. Guaranteed. You're going to look back over your life and you're going to start seeing, oh my goodness, God was with me. Right there. That time I was doing something so stupid. God was with me. God kept me alive. God kept me from doing something really stupid. Man, if I told you some of the stories, oh my goodness gracious. I did some real dumb stuff when I was young. Really dumb. Like the hand, it's nothing but the mercies of God. I'm standing here right now. Not in prison or something stupid. I could have been so many places, man. But Lord, I pray this morning that we'd stop looking into the future with fear. Some of us, oh God, are dealing with tough situations. We've got family issues. We've got financial stress. We've got health issues, whatever things that are going on, Lord. We've got just things weighing on us. But Lord, I pray that this morning the big punchline of this sermon is that we should be able to look, when we look back and see, okay, man, I came through that. I didn't think I was going to make it, but I did. And I can see the hand of God in it. Lord, if you've done that, you're going to do this. You know, many times, church, when in Israel, the Old Testament, they would come through, you know, they'd cross the river, and the Lord says, now go get a stone out of the middle of the river, out of the middle of it, right? The river would back up and stop flowing. They'd cross on dry ground. He said, now go get a stone, one stone for each tribe, and make a pile over here. So that every time they walked by that place, they'd say, oh, that's right. God stopped that river up and we went through on dry ground. Right? Many times the Lord would deliver his people and they would build an altar and worship. And so every time they went by, there's that altar there. That's right. God did that. That's right. The Lord came through for us. The Lord delivered us. The Lord defeated that enemy. The Lord provided for us here. The Lord did this. The Lord did that. Lord, it's so easy for us at times when we're facing a new challenge, a new situation. So easy for us to forget how good you've been. So easy for us to forget your faithfulness. So easy for us to think about it and say, man, you know, geez, I don't know if God's really going to bring me through this one. But Lord, we just want to lay all those lies down at your feet right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we want to declare this morning. If you want to declare it out loud with me, church, then do that. But definitely, at least in your heart, just say, God, you're good. You're a good Father. You're a good God. You're a faithful God. You will not send us anywhere that you won't carry us through. You will never assign us a mission that we can't accomplish by your grace. You will never leave us or forsake us, God. So, Lord, this morning as we get ready for communion and to celebrate what you did for us, Jesus, by having your body broken and spilling your blood for us, God, to give us that new covenant, that covenant of promise. I pray this morning, Lord, that our foresight would be as sharp as our hindsight. That, Lord, a new confidence would rise up in our heart, Father. That a new confidence in who you are would rise up in us and say, man, look, I am going to conquer this thing in Jesus' name. Maybe there's some lingering sin in your life and you just can't kick it. Say, man, I am going to conquer this in Jesus' name. If I'm still breathing, there's still hope. This is not my master. And Lord, as we prepare to end 2019, help this thing really shift way down deep in us, oh God, that we'd rise up in a new level of confidence in Jesus' name. Genesis 50:22, ending right here. Now Joseph stayed in Egypt, he and his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw the third generation of Ephraim's sons. Also the sons of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were born on Joseph's knees. Joseph said to his brothers, I'm about to die, but God will surely take care of you and bring you up from this land to the land which he promised on oath to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, God will surely take care of you, and you should carry my bones up from here. Church, 2020, I want to declare over your life that God will surely take care of you. God will surely take care of you. Amen. Amen. Let's clap our hands and bless him. It's good. Amen and amen. Well, why don't you take a seat for a moment? We are going to prepare for communion.